person, the deeper foundation and roots you gather with him as you grow in the Lord. Thank you, our children's ministry folk, Pastor Olivia and the team that put that together, Ashley, for directing that group here this morning. I'm so proud of you. So proud of the team today. We have and we serve a good God. Amen. 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 Well, are you ready for the word of God this morning? I'm ready to preach it here. I believe God's going to do a special, special thing among us. If you don't mind, stand to your feet all over the building. Stand to your feet. Grab a hold of your Bibles. Y'all know how we do it. Grab a hold of your Bibles. Stand to your feet. And you want to usher the presence of the Lord in a strong and mighty way today, because I began a series last week on the Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. And I want to continue within that atmosphere today, believing God to do something today supernatural. Amen. How many of you know believe God can do something supernatural today? Come on. How many of y'all you didn't just come to church? Come on now. You came expect. Somebody say, I'm expecting. I believe God will meet you at your expectation. I believe he'll meet you right where you're expecting him to do so. Do me a favor, turn your Bibles to Ezekiel 37, verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. He sat me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass them all by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel answered, oh, Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause, here it is, breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Stay with me. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. The bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and flesh came together, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy, here we go, to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I have you speak to somebody on a Sunday morning, but today you're going to have to speak to the Lord, because what I'm going to tell you right now can't nobody do for you but God. So if you do me a favor and just look up to the sky and say, breathe on me, and sit back down. Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about today. I'm talking about somebody needs the breath of God. Somebody needs God to breathe on them. When God, he said, prophesy to what? To the dry bones. So whatever's dry in your life, speak to it. And when you speak it, it'll come from the north. It'll come from the south. It'll come from the east. It'll come from the west. And as I prophesied, as I spoke it, as I breathed it, they came to life. At what? At the breath of God. You need to know Holy Spirit is the breath of God. Why do you need Holy Spirit? Because you need breath on every facet and phase of your life. You need the wind of God. You need the mercy of God. You need God to speak to every dry area in your life. That's why I told you couldn't talk to nobody. I can't tell my wife, breathe on me. No, she's full of Holy Spirit, no question. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's a jealous God. He's jealous. Thou shalt have no other gods before him. There are times in your life, and I believe we're in that season right now, where you've got to get into the capacity of a God himself, and you've got to say, Father God, I need you to breathe on me. I need you to breathe life into every dead place. Don't you sit there and act like you ain't got no dead places in your life that you need the breath of God upon. Let's understand something about Holy Spirit. Let me take you back, and then I'll bring you back ahead. But in Genesis 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, here we go, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face, Genesis 1, y'all, we in the beginning. We in the beginning of creation. We are before Holy Spirit has been descended from Jesus. We are in John 1:1 now, in a way. Because in the beginning was the Word, and Word was God. So we find out right here, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth wasn't without form, and it was void. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then we get to Genesis 2. We're going to build something here this morning, church. Genesis 2, verse 4 says, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face. A mist went up. Somebody say Holy Spirit. But a mist went up. One of the other capacities of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is like a mist that goes up in dry seasons. The Holy Spirit, according to Genesis, he actually waters the earth. He causes the earth to grow. You need Holy Spirit because all of us enter into dry seasons. And it is the Holy Spirit in his job and capacity is to hover over the earth, your earth, whatever your capacity is, to hover over your family, to hover over your household, to hover over your job. You want the Holy Spirit to hover and then rain down what? Life, breath, abundance. And the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living being. Somebody say, breathe on me, God. It's one of the things that we need more so than any time in our earth or in our planet, in our world. We need God to breathe on us. Let's break this down a little bit. Breath, the ruah, the wind or the Spirit of God. The Hebrew translation of breath, the ruah. We need the ruah of God, the wind, the Spirit of God. A Greek translation, the pneuma, pneuma. We need the life of God. We need the ruah, we need the wind, we need the Spirit of God, we need the pneuma, we need the life of God. Amen? Acts 2, verse 1 here. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, say one accord, in one place, and suddenly, somebody say suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. Now, didn't we just talk about that? As a mighty rush, and it filled the whole house where everyone was sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each, somebody say, breathe on me, God. I want you to know that everything is available for you in this place today. I want to tell you that God is no respecter of persons. So when the fire hits, the fire is available for you. So God doesn't bring the fire only for the pastor of the church, only for an elder in the house, only for the praise and worship leader. The Lord brings the fire for every available spirit that wants to, somebody say, Lord, send me your fire. send me your fire. It filled the whole house. There appeared to them divided tongues, sat on every one of them, and they were all filled with the what? The and began to speak with as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's last week's message, 1 Corinthians 12, 4. That's one of the gifts given. There was a 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 4. Tongues was a part of those gifts. Charting course here, and we're going to go to Acts 4. I'm going to take you here to this prayer of boldness that Peter speaks here. This is after Holy Spirit has descended and the Lord Jesus has ascended, and he prays this prayer. Somebody say, I need boldness. He says, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now watch this. Verse 29, they say, now, Lord, look on their hearts and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. How many of you all know you need boldness to speak the word of God today? You need boldness. They're praying for boldness. They said this, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your, okay, here it is, Peter. They are praying for boldness. Say boldness. They're praying for the wind of God, the Spirit of God, the strength of God, but they do something specific that many men and women, they forget and they escape from. They said this. They said, as we stretch out our hands, come here, Bill, as we stretch out our hands, let our hands be your hand. Wait a minute. Don't y'all miss that. Don't y'all miss that. As we stretch out our hand to heal, they tell Jesus, no, I know it's my hand going out, but it's not my hand doing the healing. Come on, somebody. I know I'm up here preaching, but it's Jesus in me that's speaking to me and through me. So you really have never healed anybody. But the power of Jesus Christ. When the worship team is singing, I tell, lose yourself in that song. Let Jesus speak through you and to you so that nobody in this place can say, oh, when Anita hit that note, it really took me in. Let me tell you, I know that was Anita's voice, but that was all Jesus on the inside of. Let me tell you, people that get you happy for a moment. Oh, but my God, the servant Savior of the world, he'll keep you happy today, tomorrow, Tuesday. Am I in the right church this morning? Because folk will mess you up. Folk will jack you up. But my God will never fail. Somebody say, breathe on me. We need God to breathe on you in this day and time. We need God to breathe on us in a mighty way. I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of his ploys. I'm tired of his attack. You need God to get in your household. Get in your job and breathe on me, God. How can you deny the power? You need Holy Spirit. I don't need Holy. No, you need Holy Spirit. You don't have no power without Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is just not speaking in tongues, although I desire that you would speak in tongues. Tongues edifies you. It builds the body. Watch this. It's the only language that the devil does not comprehend. So when I go into Rusa Nalalamande Biyakata Baba, I know we live in a world today, most people don't want to speak in tongues, especially in front of the body. Oh, well, you know, we seeker sensitive, and somebody out there, they may not know what that is, and we don't want to offend nobody. Let me tell you something, y'all. Holy Spirit been offending people for about 3,000 years. So I ain't worried about offending none of y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, for God I live and for God I'll die. You can't worry about offending nobody. I get that. I'll teach you so you know what you're dealing with. I get that. We have people that come in this church, don't know the Lord, don't know Holy Spirit. So I'll teach you, but I won't live in fear because of offense. Oh, my Lord. There's too much fear as far as offense. Breathe on us, God. How many of you can undoubtedly say you need God to breathe on some stuff in your life? You need God to just breathe on some stuff. Just yesterday, man, and I know it was Holy Spirit. Just yesterday, I'm in Columbus. My mother's brother died suddenly a couple weeks ago, just passed, 78 years old. So my first cousin, his daughter, she contacted me. Now, I was ready. The Lord's taught me to be ready. So they might ask me to do the funeral. They may ask me. So Karen calls me. She says, you know, I want you to do the funeral. He's my uncle. We call him Uncle Junior. His real name is Fred. I said, oh, man. All right, Holy Spirit. I've never done a funeral for somebody that close. My mother's brother. Oh. I'm like, Holy Spirit, just speak to me. Just talk to me. Lord, when I walk in that funeral home, be there. Because somebody help me, y'all. Be there, Holy Spirit. Be there. Because I want to know what to say. This is my mother, y'all. Come on. That's my mother. This is not. I've done a number of funerals, but never that close. All I prayed for was Holy Spirit. I really wasn't even worried about. I knew God was going to give me a word to teach. I knew. I wasn't even. That was the least of my concern. My concern was that Holy Spirit be in that room. Lift that room. Strengthen that room. I'd never seen my mother so strong. I'd never seen my aunt so strong. The power of God was in that room in such a mighty way. And then wouldn't you know it, the Lord gave me a scripture. I don't know why I'm telling y'all this, but I guess this is what Holy Spirit wants to do before I keep going on. But the Lord gives me a scripture about the widow at Nain. And all of a sudden, I'm preaching a word about Jesus touching a casket and everything coming alive. Because if some of you all remember that, Jesus had touched the casket of the widow of Nain. And she was coming out of Nain, which means beauty. And the Lord saw her coming out. And when he saw her coming out, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on her because her husband had just died. And so here it is. She's coming out of the cemetery. They're actually headed to the burial site. And Jesus sees her, and she's with her crowd, and he's with his crowd. And then all of a sudden, he touches the casket. And at the touch of the casket, the boy rises. Come on, somebody. He rises and he gives her back to her mother. Now, I told the family and friends gathered yesterday, I'm not telling you I'm about to touch this casket and my Uncle Junior is about to rise. But I am telling you, you got some dead stuff in your life that at the touch of, somebody help me in this place. I'm telling you right now, the breath of God, at the breath of everything in your life can rise again. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, don't miss this, was shaken. Somebody say shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with what? With boldness. Now, why is that so important? Because this had already happened in Acts 2. So why am I giving this to you again in Acts 4? Because I'm telling you, you can continuously be filled with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit infilling is not a one-time affair. Matter of fact, let me put it like this. You need to be filled again. You need a touch again. You need the breath again. You need an experience again. You need to be taken back to your first love. Because we get phony, we get tired, we get indifferent. You need to be filled again. Somebody say, God, fill me again. Don't you ever forget where God found you. Don't you ever forget how it felt when God first touched your life. The devil would love for you to forget all the things that God has done for you. Somebody say, fill me again. I'm trying to set you up for what I believe is about to happen, that you will literally get into a place where you will be filled with the power of God via Holy Spirit again. To David said in Psalm 33 and 6, he said, the Lord merely spoke and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, my gosh, and all the stars were born. He breathed the word. John 11, we're about to round home already, church family, but I'm going to take you to the circumference of the text here in John 11. Some familiar script to you, maybe some not, but I want to take you in a particular manner that maybe you have not been before. And the Bible says here in John 11, now a certain man was sick. Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Ooh, put those two names down, Mary and Martha. The town of Mary and Bethany. It was that Mary, come on, the same Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil. Yeah, the same one. And wiped his feet with her hair. Whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love. Yeah, yeah. The guy that you love. You need to know first and foremost that Jesus was very close with Mary, with Martha, and with Lazarus. These were his folk, you all. He had spent time with them. The Bible tells us this is the same Mary who cried tears on the feet of Jesus. And then I believe as C.C. Wine is saying, she began to ripe them with her hair. So there was an intimacy of relationship that they had. I'm trying to build this morning, y'all. That there's something that they had together. And Mary, they loved Jesus. And they sent word to Jesus. They said, he who you love, he's sick. He's sick. Jesus got word of it. My boy's sick. My partner, Lazarus, my guy. Mary and Martha's brother, he's sick. How sick is he? He real sick. He at the point of dying. He that sick? Jesus, let me wait. Jesus, no. No, Jesus, he's sick. He's at a point, no. Let me wait. Well, how long are you going to wait, Jesus? Oh, I'm trying to get in somebody's business right now. I'm trying to get into somebody's life right now. I'm trying to talk to somebody who said, God, where are you? Do you not know what's happening in my life? I called you last Sunday. Okay, let me talk to five or six of you all that came into service on one particular Sunday, and you said, oh, I know this is my breakthrough Sunday. You got in your car, and you said, it's all going to change tomorrow morning. You was about shouting on the way home. Tomorrow morning came, and ain't nothing changed. Ooh, I know you in the building. You don't want to lift your hand, but I know you in the building. And you're wondering, God, where are you? But he stayed two more days. There was a reason he stayed two more days. Two more days was a verification of witnesses. That's actually what it meant. There's some times that God will delay because there ain't enough witnesses to see your miracle. Wait a minute. Oh, wait. I think y'all missed that. Sometimes God will wait because there ain't enough people to witness your breakthrough. You said, God, I'm ready. But God is like, I got at least six or seven more people on assignment to get to you. Because not only are you going to celebrate, I'm going to bring them to me through your miracle. So don't be in such a hurry, because the longer you wait, the greater. Okay, let me preach to myself. The longer you wait, come on, honey, my wife knows, the longer you wait, the greater the miracle. Because when the miracle comes, it will all be worth. Let me talk to five or six people that know when God brings about what you've been praying for. You ain't going to tell nobody it's been 5 years I've been waiting. You're going to say, oh, he may not come when you want him to, but he's always right on time. Somebody's right on time is a week. Somebody's right on time is 7 years. But I'm going to tell you right now, don't wait, don't fret, and don't give up. Because he will show up, amen? Give God some praise right there. Oh, I feel Holy Spirit right there. Come on, somebody give God some praise in this place. Oh, I feel some hunger in this building right now. Am I standing among some hunger? Oh, Lord Jesus. Somebody stand to your feet and give three people a high five and say, I feel the breath of God coming. Tell them, I feel it. I feel a breath of God coming. I feel. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mary and Martha. Y'all tripping. Here's Jesus. Watch this. Here's Jesus. Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up, team. Don't go up yet. Sit down, sit down, sit down. I ain't done. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. Hallelujah. Sit down. Jesus said, listen, Mary and Martha, why y'all tripping? Why y'all tripping? This sickness ain't into death. No. Martha comes to him. Martha, say Martha.
Martha.
Martha comes to Jesus and she says, Lord, he whom you love, the man you love, he's sick. He died. Jesus said, Martha, why are you tripping? He said, this sickness is not going to lead to death. She said, well, she blown away. She trying to figure all this out. She said, because, you know, some preachers have acted like Martha was indignant. No. Now, she said, Lord, where were you now? Oh, she said that now. Somebody said, can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Oh, she said that. And I don't know if the neck rolled or not. I don't know. I don't know. But she said, Lord, if you'd have been there, my brother would not have died. If you would have been there. He said, listen, this sickness is not going in unto death. And Jesus looks at her and tells her, he said, your brother will rise again. She said, oh, Lord, I know he'll rise again on that great and resurrection day. Jesus said, oh, I am the, wait a minute, wait. Don't y'all miss that. Jesus is a bad boy. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not heresy. I'm just telling you who he is to me in my life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Your brother will. Shortly after that, Mary comes, the other sister. When Mary comes, she's in pain. Martha was in pain too. But Mary comes and she is just totally distraught. The Bible says she falls at the feet of Jesus. Matter of fact, Mary is so messed up, she brought a whole bunch of Jewish believers with her, and they all crying. It's kind of like when you're at a funeral, and the funeral seems to be pretty strong, and then that one person comes in. Anybody ever been to a funeral like that? All of a sudden, somebody comes in, and they crying, and they make everybody cry. The funeral was strong right before they got in. But Mary is weeping in tears. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The Bible says when Mary comes with this pitch of crying and desperation, the Bible says that Jesus begins to groan in his spirit. And Romans 8 said that there are oftentimes we don't know what to pray. Oh, don't y'all miss this Holy Spirit episode. But the Spirit maketh utterance with groanings which cannot be understood. And so Jesus began to groan. Oh, I'm trying to tell somebody right now that Jesus is groaning on your behalf right now. He's groaning in his spirit. And let me tell you right now, when he begins to groan, something's about to happen. Don't y'all miss that? Because Jesus begins to groan in his spirit. Mary is, she's all messed up, and these folk are crying. And Jesus just asked the word. He says, where y'all laid him? Where is he? Notice he said, where'd y'all put him? Okay, see, somebody done tried to put you in a tomb before your time. Somebody done tried to put your dreams on hold. Somebody done tried to put you away when God said, where is that? Who put that away on you? I'm not done with you. Okay, God is telling somebody today, I'm not done with you. Matter of fact, I'm only at the beginning of what I want to do in your life. Greater are your days ahead. Okay, my latter days shall be great. I got to give you verse 7. I'm going to kick myself if I don't give this to you. In verse 7 in John 11, it says, then after this, yeah. Somebody say, I'm getting ready for an after this. Let that sink in. You're getting ready for an after this. Because Jesus had clearly said that this sickness is not unto death. It actually happened to bring glory to God. Then he gets to verse 11. He says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I need to go wake him up. But then he said in verse 14, he was saying, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad that I wasn't there that you may believe. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. Jesus said, let's go to him. Wait a minute. I'm tripping on this as much as you are. And then Jesus, when we fast forward it again, Jesus is now groaning in his spirit, and he says to them, he says, take away the stone. Watch this. He says, take away the stone. He's groaning. He says, take away the stone. And Mary says, he says, he been dead for four days. He been dead for 4 days. She says, the stench alone, ooh, Lord, the stench alone of him being dead for 4 days will be too much to overcome. Somebody say intentional. Everything that Jesus does is with intent. There was a reason why he waited 4 days. Well, why did he wait 4 days, Pastor? Well, the Jewish tradition had it that the soul remained in the body after death for 3 days. Wait a minute. And on the fourth day, it was all over. Wait a minute. So if the soul remained for 3 days, come here, Bill. If the soul remained for 3 days, Jesus, knowing very well his audience, who he was dealing with and working with, he restrained himself for 3 days so that everybody there could understand and believe that he was gone. Because by the fourth day, all hope had... Wait a minute. Okay, watch this. Your situation isn't hopeless enough. Oftentimes, God's got to wait until everybody around you says there's no way in the world that is going to happen in your life. And God says it's just about time for me to show up and for me to show out. Somebody yell, I'm ready. So he says by the fourth day, he says, I'll show up. Yeah, he says, roll a stone away. Matter of fact, he makes them do it. Y'all physically go up there. Now, y'all know good and well Jesus could have spoke to that stone, and that stone could have rolled away on itself. But God's got a way of making all the doubters remove stuff in your life. Wait a minute. Somebody missed that. God will make every hater in your life go to work for you. Every hater in your life will be doing stuff for you. God will bring haters in your life. They'll be writing checks to you. They'll be blessing you. They'll be speaking. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Amen. Bless those who persecute you, those who cursing you. Don't be wishing that they're going to die. No. God will use them to bless you. He speaks to that rock. Thank you, B. He says, roll that stone away. And he waits until the presence of everybody there. Yells in that tomb. You need to know that Lazarus wasn't the only one in that tomb. I've told you this before, but it bears repeating, that when he speaks into that tomb, he said, roll a stone away. They roll a stone away, and he speaks into the tomb. Ooh, somebody say, speak to your tomb. He speaks, wait a minute, he speaks to the tomb, Elder Jerry. He speaks to it. He speaks to the tomb. He speaks to the tomb. He speaks where death is. He speaks where death is in front of the presence of everybody. They've rolled the stone away. He says, Lazarus, he's specific, Lazarus. Why? Because there's more than one dead person in that cave. Because if he would have just said, come forth, every dead thing in there would have. Okay, y'all, some of you all are missing this. This is why oftentimes, especially within your circle, watch this, God will oftentimes bless somebody else before you. Because everybody will come forth in different seasons. Oh my gosh, don't you all forget this? Don't you ever think that God has forgot about you? But the fact of the matter, if the Lord calls Evelyn, come here, Evelyn. He calls Evelyn forth and he says, Evelyn, come forth. That doesn't mean that he doesn't love Kim. But he's called her forth. So what you don't want to do is get any jealousy, any resentment, because God is watching how you celebrate. Wait a minute now. So don't you, come on, don't come to her wedding all jealous and all messed up. He ain't nothing. He been with so-and-so. He ain't never gonna be nothing. Now you all jacked up. You don't understand when God was gonna pick you. Now he done went to Joanne. Joanne, come forth. Come on, Mom. He says, Joanne, come forth. Oh, yeah. Now she tripping because she's like, wait. Evelyn done came forth. Joanne done came forth. Now, Kim want a blessing. No question about it. But now all of a sudden, she done got an attitude. Both of my girls done got blessed. And Jesus will say, oh, I actually had you up next. But you know what? Denise, come on forth. Oh, wait a minute. Don't you up? Oh, see, this stuff will mess you up right here. Let me talk to five of y'all that have watched at least 10 people get blessed before you. Are you in this place right now where you've seen folk get blessed? It's not that I forgot about you, Kim. The reality is that I heard people say all the time, it's a divine delay. Yeah, but the reality is that oftentimes you create that delay. You create the delay by what you say. Watch this. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But I'll say it like, thanks ladies. I'll say it like T.D. Jakes will say it. Can you stand to be blessed? Can you really stand? Oh, you ready to be hated on? You ready to be talked about? You ready to talk about, oh, now she thinks she all of this, all of that. No, I don't think I'm this, that. Well, matter of fact, I know I'm this, that, and the other. Okay, maybe I'm only talking about 10 or 15 single women in here that know they all of that and a bag of chips. Come on now. Don't be afraid to say, yeah, I'm God's best. I'm created in the image of God. I know I'm cute. I might be old, but I'm still cute. Wait a minute. Some of y'all missed that right there. I might be old, but I'm still... Why some of y'all sitting down like you still 25? You better stand to your feet and say, God, I'm at least 40, 45, but I'm still fine as I want to be. There's a man in this earth that I know sure enough want me. I ain't going to settle for no Tyrone. I ain't got to wait for that. If I wait, God will send me a good man. God will send me a fine. God will send me a man with a job, with benefits, with life insurance. Somebody say hallelujah to that. It'd be one of the first questions you ask your man is, you got life insurance? I'm just saying, if you check out, I'm just saying, I love you, but if you check out, I just want to make sure. My wife tell me that. I love you, babe. I love you. You know I love you. That policy's still good, though, right? That policy's still... No, she don't say that. She don't say that. She don't say that, but she know we good, though. She know we good. You know why I'm going here? I'm going here for some married man right now. Don't go without life insurance. Don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I ain't going nowhere. Really? Says the man who died last night. Tomorrow is not Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says the dead man. You hear me, Pastor Mike? The dead man. Dead. The Bible said, how do dead men walk? Dead men walk when the life and the breath of Jesus, the breath that was spoken out of his mouth, brought Lazarus forth. Watch this. Dead. Okay. Before you got saved, you were dead in your own sin. For most of you all here, God didn't save you and then you came to church. Mm-mm. Some of you, but most of you came into the house of God, whatever house that is, dead. And then when you got saved, that was the breath. That was the breath of life of God breathing into you, and you got saved. But here's what I love about this passage. When Jesus says, Lazarus, somebody say that with me, come forth. Somebody say that. Somebody say that. Say that. Lazarus comes out. The Bible says he's got his grave clothes on. He is wrapped head to toe. He comes out literally like a mummy. Can you all see the people around there like, oh my goodness. That's how people are looking at you. Because there's so many people that think you dead. They think you gone. They think your best days are ahead of you. I'm telling you right now, come out. Come out the grave. Come out of your dead place. Come. Then Jesus says something so powerful. He says, loose him and let him go. Ooh. Who's he speaking to? Death. He's speaking to death. The breath. The Holy Spirit in him is speaking life into life, speaks into death, and Jesus says, loose him, death, 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 loose him. Loose him and let him go. Straps on his mouth, which are suffocating him. Oh, my Lord Jesus. It's why Jesus had to give us a vivid picture of how you can be alive but yet be dead. And until Jesus speaks to the straps that they would loose you, let you go, because it literally is like from the time that the straps are loose from Lazarus' mouth, the breath of God. When the straps are loose, it's like all of a sudden, Lazarus can, he can breathe. Let me go back to Mary and Martha. The fact of the matter is, I love this so much, is that Martha comes to Jesus, and she's distraught, and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died, but yet still, I believe that you can do this because you are the Son of God. She understands that. Mary says the same thing to the Lord. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, she doesn't say any of that as far as him being the Lord the Christ, even though she had just anointed his feet. Even though Mary had just anointed Jesus' feet for burial, she still comes to him with some level of pain, as though he couldn't bring back to life her brother because he is the Son of God. Martha recognized he was the Son of God because she said, even though my brother is dead, I believe that you can. Why am I giving you that? I'm telling you right now, because God is so faithful, so even though there's faith and even though there's fear, because that's what happened. Martha had faith. Mary had fear. Jesus still did the miracle. I'm trying to tell you right now that even when you have fear in your life, God can still come in like a mighty rushing wind. God can still do miracles, signs, and wonders. Come on, somebody give God some praise in this place. Come on, Jason. Come on, Jason. Come on, give God some praise in this place right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, church. trying to tell you right now, church, not only are you coming out, not only are you going to come out, the coming out is the first part, but not only are you going to come out, but I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, I'm placing my breath in you. That I'm breathing. Everybody standing all over their feet. Stand on your feet all over the building. I hear the Lord saying, I'm placing my breath in you today. I'm beginning to breathe into you right now. I'm beginning to breathe into you. Just lift your hands all over the building. You might be standing in this place today, right now, very much alive as far as your heartbeat is concerned, but you got some dead stuff. You got some stuff in your life. It's just dead. It's dead. I want us to minister. We're going to minister, and the team is going to minister a song right now. And I will speak a place of altar call to each of you. And I want you to respond beyond my voice, but I want you to respond to the voice of God. Put yourself in a position, not only physically, but emotionally, mentally, and certainly spiritually right now. Shut everything off around you. Discipline your minds right now to receive from God. Yes, Lord. Just receive all over the building. Just receive, just receive. Just wait for the timing of God.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Surround us in this place and breathe new life within us. Send a refresh.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill this place.
Let your glory fill.
Your all-consuming fire.
Yes.
Fill this tabernacle.
Holy Spirit, we call upon your power and your
authority. And purify our hearts. Surround us in. And breathe new life within us. Send your refreshing glory, Lord. Let your glory fill this place.
Let your glory fill this place.
Let your all-consuming fire, Lord, fill this tabernacle.
Fill this tabernacle
and purify our hearts.
Yes,
surround
God.
Us
yes,
in
God.
This place.
Yes, God.
Surround us in this
and won't you breathe new life within us,
Lord?
Breathe, breathe, breathe.
Send your refreshing glory, Lord.
I want you to hit this altar right now, right now. Come, come, come quickly, come quick. You say, Lord, I need new life, new life. I got some situations, some circumstances in my life. I need the breath of God on. I need you to breathe on every situation, every circumstance in my life. I got some pains. I got some issues, some trials, some tribulations. I got some heavy stuff I'm dealing with, Lord. I need your breath right now. I need your wind. I need your rain right now. Father, I don't even understand everything that's happening in my life, But all I know is I need you to breathe on every situation, every circumstance. I got some doubts going on. I got some faults happening in my life. I got some guilt that I'm carrying. I got some unforgiveness going on in my life. I need you, Lord. I need you.
One more time, say, let your glory fill this place. Say, let your glory fill this place.
Let your glory fill this place.
And your all-consuming fire.
Let your all-consuming fire.
Fill this tabernacle, Lord.
Fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts.
Surround me right where I am, Jesus.
I don't have it on today, but I've got an Apple Watch, and I've got this particular application or whatever, and every now and then it'll prompt me, and it'll say, breathe. It'll buzz on my wrist, and it'll say, breathe. And if I hit the button, just wherever I am, I'll just. Holy Spirit is just saying right now, all over the room, whether you're here, whether you, what you need to do, you need to breathe. You need to breathe. You need to breathe in the power of Holy Spirit. It's available right now. Every hand lifted right now. I'm telling you, something's going to happen as you begin to breathe. Ooh, there's new life in this place right now. There's new power in this place right now. Everybody breathe, 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 breathe. Holy Spirit, breathe, breathe, breathe. There are times and there's moments in your life, it ain't nothing else you can do but breathe. It's all you can do. This is all in the Lord's hand. This is where trust and faith kicks in. This is when you do nothing but observe, like Mary and Martha. You don't do anything but you sit back and wait, and you say, God, on your time, I believe that you can bring to life whatever it is. For the assignment is not done. Breathe on us, God. Breathe on us. Breathe on us. Every one of you that have come to this altar in boldness and strength and authority, may the fire of God, may the fire, the purpose of God, the fire, yeah. Altar workers, just begin to touch them. Those that are at this, begin to touch them. Just speak life and breath into their spirits right now. That's it. They just need a breath. They don't even need a prophetic word right now. You just need a breath. You just need the breath of God. You need the assurance of God. You need the assurance. Just the assurance of God. Just be a breath. Yeah. God can breathe on that wayward child. Hear me. God can breathe on that marriage. God can breathe on that broken relationship. God can breathe on that heartache that you're dealing with. God can breathe on that job loss. God can breathe. One breath of God will change everything. Shower down, God. Yes. I challenge you that while you are at this altar, those of you that will renew your life right now, renew your life with Christ, renew your commitment. Renew your commitment right where you are. Right where you are. Lift those hands and renew your commitment to Jesus right now. Don't you wait another moment. Don't you wait another minute. Just breathe life into her right now in the name of Jesus. Regardless of that oxygen tank, I just breathe life into you right now in the name of Jesus. May the power of the Most High. Matter of fact, as you're taking those breaths, may you feel the life. Abundance of Jesus Christ. I pray for a praise report that comes not from the doctor, but it comes from heaven. And I pray that the Lord tells you, daughter, you are now ready. You are now ready to go. You are ready to flow. Every inhibitor that is trying to stop your oxygen from circulating, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, meet her heart's desire. Meet her passion right now. Meet her cry right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever you're carrying, give it unto the Lord. Whatever it is that you're carrying this morning, give it unto the Lord. Do me a favor right where you're standing. Just lift your hands just like mine are right here. Just lift your hands. And I want you to say this with me. I want you to say, Father God, every situation, every circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, breathe. your Holy Spirit breathe life and abundance into my spirit right now. If you believe the breath of God is among us right now, I want you to give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Come on, begin to give God some good praise this morning. Come on, one more bar, one more bar, one more bar. Breathe on it. Breathe, breathe, breathe. Say experience. Someone is going to have an experience this week. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it very clearly. I hear it very clearly. But to prove to you that God does not delay in how he does it, I believe that it's happening right now. That God is preparing, moving, shifting things around you right now. You're going to walk into an experience this week and you're going to know this ain't nothing but the breath of God. You're going to see dead things moving around you. Some of you all are going to get some phone calls this week from some folk that you thought forgot about you. I'm calling all of the wayward children and family members back into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, give me an experience this week, Lord. I'm believing it and I'm decreeing it. Email us, call us, let us know about what is happening in your life throughout the week. Father, we just thank you for your habitation today. We thank you that you rose and you stand in authority and in purpose in this house today. You get complete reign in this house, and we exalt praise your name. And those of you who have newly committed a new season in Jesus Christ, I'm just praying the momentum that can only be given by Holy Spirit and the breath of God would literally saturate your lives. Honey, you have anything? We want to thank you in advance. We're going to make our way out there as quickly as possible. We certainly want to love on you here on this Pastor Appreciation Day. Love you guys so, so much. I'm so honored. I am beyond honored to serve in the chief servant position within this house. I love you guys so much. I mean that. Literally living a dream. Do me a favor and just lift your hands all over the building. We want to speak the blessing into you. I believe this blessing will keep you throughout this week. Amen. We bless you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth, we bless you coming and we bless you going. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say, it's my best season.
It's my best season.
I speak into your spirits right now that you will receive the breath of God every moment, every minute of the day. And I pray that you experience a season this week that you call those things out. As Jesus said, you call those things which be not as though they were. I bless your homes, your jobs, your finances, certainly your families. I tell you each and every week, God has given us one amazing life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Along with that, be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? Somebody needs a hug around you. God bless you. We love you. Enjoy your afternoon. God bless you. I'll see you next Sunday.